You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So yeah, this is not normally when this happens, right? Like, we're throwing things off. Like, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. We have to do like 4 songs. We have to have an offering, and then there has to be an incredibly long teaching time where we check our clocks, and then we can get out of here to finally go somewhere else. But we're mixing it up today because it's actually tied to what we're teaching. As today we wrap up the yet another Summer of Psalms series. And so we're mixing things around. We're going to actually end our time this morning with some more singing, some more worship and singing, because I'm not going to say with some more worship, because reading and studying the Word of God is in fact worship as well. It does not require just for you to sing aloud. So we're going to be doing, yes, we're mixing things up this week. As Justin already mentioned with the announcements, first of all, what is MC3? That's the way it is. Like, the question, the whole point of that is, what is that? Well, you'll have to, you know, come to find out next week. Of course, when people ask you about that, then you can tell them who you are, who we are as a church, and tell them more about MC3. So that word is intentionally not a real word, and you're supposed to stumble over it. So thanks for playing along, Justin. What we're doing, as he also mentioned, is that we are wrapping up our Ignition break this month. And so there are some of you that are in kindergarten through fifth grade that next week will be returning to Ignition in the kids' hallway. Yeah, some of you, unless you're moving into sixth grade, and then you won't be. You'll be part of Student Prime. But for those of you that are in... Okay, go ahead, Zach. Student Prime. Okay, sorry. It's like obligatory. If I say Student Prime, then Zach has to yell something. What I want to do is, if you are a kid in kindergarten through fifth grade, I'd like you to come up here. We're going to play a little game of hot potato. So there's no, like, shooting other people in the face. There's no awkward microphones. There is no telephone game where you need to share important information down a row because, you know, that didn't go so well. No, stop shaking your head. Why don't we turn on the house light just so we can really look at the ones that are not coming up? All right.
Hot potato.
Whoa. See? All right. We got all morning. Like, we shifted things around, so I've gotten until 11:30. No, all right. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, great. So, have you guys ever played hot potato? Are you familiar with the game? So the way it works, this is our potato. It doesn't look like a potato, but it's sort of a potato, is that the music is going to start. John's going to play some music back there, and as this music plays, you're going to have to quickly pass this. So we're going to make a circle here, so just in a second. And you're going to have to pass the potato. And when the music stops, whoever's holding the potato is out. You played that before? You with me? You remember this game? Yeah? Yeah, you good? Okay, and this song is going to be sponsored by a throwback to last week, and it'll be by these guys here, the Wiggles. So you guys don't remember them maybe from last week, but we're going to hear a Wiggles song this morning. So maybe that'll jog your non-existent memories, since they weren't popular as you were really little kids. But some of these people out here will probably, start singing along. All right, I need you to make a circle here, right here on the stage, like us facing each other. Yeah, come on in. Like, I'm not in the circle. All right, you can come around here. All right. All right, we good? So let's just do a test. Like, we're not going to start the music, right? But just kind of, you're going to pass it, and we're going to pass it this way. And I'll move this table some more. So just, yeah, passing. Just go. Pretend like we're playing. All right. Yeah, it needs to be a handoff. No throwing. Okay, so you got the idea. You see how that works? You with it? You get that? Yes? It's not that hard. Okay, so John, whenever you're... So he's going to... He's starting the music, and he'll stop it. Can you turn it up here a little bit? Oh, that wasn't the stop. Sorry, that was my fault.
Hot potato.
There we go.
Potato.
I think that was your way. But before you go, did we get our picture? I gave him control, and see, look what he does with it. All right. Did you get a picture? All right, first of all, everybody turn and smile right there for the camera. You got it? All right. Thank you. Well done. Okay, now we're down to five. You understand how we're playing? You got it? So make that circle a little tighter there. Potato. Tighten it in.
Hot potato, hot potato. Hot potato, hot potato. Potato, potato.
Yeah, you were still holding it. Well done. Thank you. Oh, yeah, we should give it up for each of our volunteers each time. Okay, good, good. All right, ready? It's up to you. Bring the circle a little tighter. Oh, here we go. Here, keep us moving. That's not the music. Keep going. What was that to stop? Oh. So wait, was that or was that not? That was kind of a stop. All right. I don't think that was a valid. We're reviewing it. Okay, keep going. All right. That was a clear, distinct ending. Thank you. All right. Well done. Why don't we give it up for her? All right, ladies, you ready?
Potato,
I was holding it.
Potato.
Don't throw it in. I think it was you. Well done. Thank you. All right, ladies. Hey, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's turn sideways so everybody can see you. All right, are you ready? Don't go on. Are you good? Deep breath. Cleansing breath. You good? You ready? All right. We're not going to do any weird trash talk or we make you say mean things to each other like they do on those TV shows where they're competitive.
Just continue.
Just start. So I have a cool story about Lilo and Stitch, but I'm not going to tell you right now. So actually, I don't have a cool story. I'm just trying to stall right now. Is it working? Are you getting frustrated? Are you feeling the tension? Who is going to win? Who is going to walk away as the Sunday, the whatever is today's date? Today is the 27th. The 27th of August Hot Potato Champion. Like, that's what's on the line right now. You realize that? Okay, she's frustrated, but she's about to kill me with this stare right now. All right, go ahead.
Hot potato, hot potato. Hot potato, hot potato. Potato, 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 potato. Don't spaghetti, don't spaghetti. Don't spaghetti, don't spaghetti.
I think that was clear, yes. All right, well, well done for our runner-up, and congratulations to our winner. Thank you. You may have a seat. Thanks a lot. And thank you, John, I think I'm thanking you for what you did. How many of you guys have ever played Hot Potato as a kid or last week? Or last night, you know, just with your friends, your buddies. The whole point of the game of Hot Potato, what is it, if you were to say? What are you trying to do? Just yell out loud your best answer to that. Right now, go. Not lose, win. Get rid of the potato, yes. Thank you for those answers. the idea is to hand it off, right? The idea is to not be holding the potato. And so unlike pretty much like a lot of other things where you want to have the ball, like baseball, softball, you want to catch the ball, football, you want to catch the ball, like you want to hold on to it. This is a game that is designed to get rid of, designed to hand something off, the game that's designed to pass something on. And so we're talking about our final psalm this week, which as we've gone through the two sequels of Summer of Psalms, Another Summer of Psalms, and yet another Summer of Psalms. If I'm doing my math correctly, 8 times 3. This is the 24th psalm that we've looked at in this series. Am I good, Kirk? Is that right? 8 times 3 is 24? All right, good. The 24th psalm that we looked at. And the point that I want us to get for this last psalm for this series is it's a psalm of deflection to Him. A psalm of deflection to Him. There we go. And the word deflect means to turn something away. It means to change the direction. It's slightly related to the word reflect, which is why they sound the same. And the idea is to change the direction of something. And this psalm is all about changing the direction of our perspective and giving all of it to God. And just like in Hot Potato, the idea is to not hold on to it. When it comes to our lives, a lot of times we're like, you know what? Yeah, I did this thing. And aren't I impressive? And you're holding on to this thing that really isn't because of you. It's not because of what you did. It's not even because of what you accomplished or how hard you worked. It's much bigger than that. It's about what God has done in you. And so this psalm that we're going to be looking at, Psalm 115, is all about giving it back to God. It's all about playing, and this gets the illustration breaks down a little bit, but you're playing hot potato with God. You're saying, you know what, this is not mine to hold on to. I'm going to pass it on. It's because of what He has done. And so I'm going to deflect any credit, any honor, any praise that I receive and say, you know what, it belongs to Him. It's because of what He has done. And so this is Psalm 115. If you have a paper Bible, the lights are on, you can turn there. If you have the YouVersion app, again, scroll probably about a third of the way down through the books. We're going to be in Psalm 115, and then you'll kind of zip mostly. Well, there's 150 Psalms, so maybe a third, two-thirds of the way through the Psalms to Psalm 115. And here is verse 1, and we don't know, we've talked about this before, the book of Psalms is a collection of songs that were sung in worship. And they were sung by the Israelites, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people. And as we've seen over a number of them, I know specifically over these last 2 months, we see some things that are directly related to the Israelites, to the Jewish people. We do not have a temple to worship God. We do not make sacrifices to worship God. We are the church, and it's a very different thing from Israel. But even though there are some things that are very specific to the Israelites, to the Jewish people, there are general principles that we can take away from these. And so these are a collection of them. In this psalm, we know some of the authors. This one we don't really know. No one's really sure who wrote Psalm 115. But it starts like this in verse 1. It says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory for your unfailing love and faithfulness." And so before we get into the rest of the psalm, I want to just break down this first verse because it sets up, the writer of this psalm used this verse to set up where he was going for the following verses. And so it's all about hot potato. It's all about passing it on. It's all about saying, no, this isn't for me. This is something that God has done in my life. And so there are three things, and we're going to say these three things together as I'll tell you when, as we go through this, because I think it's a great little phrase to remember as we live our lives, as we go not just here as we worship and we gather together as the body of Christ on Sundays, but in your jobs, in school, on the ball field, wherever you find yourself, these three things are important. So the first thing that the writer of Psalm 115 tells us is that it's not us. Not us. So I want you to say that with me on three. One, two, three. Not us. All right? So it's not us. It's not us. And the first part of 115, which would be part A of verse 1, he says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us." So he repeats it. And again, the psalms are poetry. They're songs. You know, they're poetic. And so when something's repeated, it's meant to be like, this. Don't forget this. This matters. And so he says, "Not to us." And the word "not" is a Hebrew word that means no, not at all. May it not be. Because it was written in Hebrew. That was the language that they spoke. And so this word "no," it's not to us. Not to us. It's not even like, can we do like a 70-30, maybe a little bit, you know, something like that? No, not at all. Not to us, O Lord, but to your name. Oh, sorry. That's next. Not to us, O Lord, not to us. And the word "Lord" is capital L-O-R-D in your Bible, which means it's the word Yahweh. And again, we had the series called The Name, and we also talked about it. We posted that video a couple weeks ago of our fun little rap about the about Yahweh and the name of God. But what he's saying here with this idea, with this first part of the verse, is that we are not the end or the final authority or the one who has accomplished what or who or where we are. So we're not the final end. It's not about us. You're not who you are because of what you've done. You are who you are because of what God has done in you. And yes, you played a part, but it's all about God. And just to be clear, and do I say this later? No, I don't think I do. Just to be clear, if at this moment right now, God said, you know what, I'm done sustaining your life, we would all drop down dead. Like every breath that we have is from God. And so the fact that you're even living is that fact that God is active in your life right now, that he is keeping you alive. And so we just need to step back and go like, yeah, we're Americans. We accomplish stuff. We do things. I earned this award. And it's like, actually, it's because of God working in your life. And we'll talk about what that is, but it's not about our accomplishments. We are not to hold on to the potato. We're not to say, yeah, look what I've done. Yeah, this is great. I'm so amazing. Oh, I've accomplished so much. I've gotten really far. And I'll just say, this isn't in my notes either, but a beautiful part of this not being our accomplishments is that if we're not where we want to be, we can also step back and say, okay, God, you've got this. It's not up to you to achieve it. It's not up to you to accomplish, to succeed. It's because of God working in your life. And so the psalmist starts out and says, not us, O Lord, not to us. It's not about us. And we'll talk about it in a little bit. We'll go back to why it's not about us. But for now, the writer sets this psalm up by saying, it's not us. The second thing he says is to him. It's not us, to him. So I want you to say, not us, to him, on the count of three. One, two, three. Not us, to him. It's not us, it's to him. And that's what the second part of verse one is. Part B, if you will. He says, but to your name goes all the glory. And I know Justin referred to this word when he was teaching last month. But the word glory, the Hebrew word is chaved. And it means heavy. It means weighty. It means massive. And so this word means like, God, it's to your name that all the weight, all the power, all the strength, it goes to you. It's not just just a spotlight thing, or I don't know what we would use the word glory for today. But that it's to his name goes all the glory. He's the one that accomplished it. James says in the book of James that every good and perfect gift comes from God. That anything you have that is worth anything of value is from God. And frankly, anything that's not is from sin, from our own sin. And so the writer here says, look, it's not about us. It's to him. He is the one that gets the glory because everything that we have in life, the family you have, the job that you have, the clothing that you are currently wearing, the food that you have in your body, all of that is because God has done it. And so for you to step back and say, yeah, I'm good. Oh, I'm keeping this heart beating. I'm pulling that off. Actually, you're not. It's God. It's God who's the one that's doing that. And so the writer says, before he gets into the rest of this psalm, he says, look, it's not about us, but it's to him. He is the one. We want to hand that off and say, God, no, this is yours. This is yours. This belongs to you because you are the one that is doing it. And, I was trying to think of another way to do this. You know, one of the potential options I had with the Ignition kids coming up was having some sort of project and everybody would have an assignment. And then when the whole project was done, everybody did the hard work, we would thank someone else. You know, and maybe you've been a part of a situation like that and at school, in your job. Kendra, we were just talking about, one of her classes has the dreaded, her upcoming classes has the dreaded group project. And the dreaded group project is a dread for the people that do all the work. And of course, then there's the other people that just sit back and don't like, yeah, man, we pulled off an A. Didn't we do amazing? No, you didn't do a thing. And actually, I know she's at Dallas Seminary. You actually have to share a percentage of the work. You write to the professor, and you have part of the assignment is, what percentage did this person do? What percentage did this person do? What percentage did this person do? So you actually lay out, and it's kind of private. Nobody knows. It's like a secret thing, so that every person kind of evaluates how much the other people contributed. So it kind of adds a little more accountability there. But that idea of saying, look what I did. No, you didn't do it. All you did was put your name on the bottom and hit submit. I did all the research. They did all the writing. And that's exactly what this is all about. The writer says, no, it's to him. He's the one that deserves the glory. He's the one that deserves the credit because he's the one that actually did the work. He is the one that he is due to receive. And so it's our job to pass it on and say, God, no, this is to you. And we can do this in a kind, humble way. We don't be like, no, get away. No, it's not me. And you don't have to be all like, you don't have to do anything like that. That's kind of weird every time. Hey, you did a really nice job singing today. Yeah, okay. Or you can just say, thanks, but, my gift is from God. Oh, amazing job on the field today. Like, you could do that too. And maybe in a court, and like if you're in a stadium and there's thousands of people watching you and you can't communicate to each person, all right, maybe that'll work, But the idea is that he's the one that has accomplished what's valuable in your life. He's the one that is doing everything in your life. And the psalm writer says, look, let's just get perspective here. This isn't us. And we were just joking about this a couple of weeks ago. I always, we congratulate people when they graduate from high school. Like, congratulations. Because you know what? It was a lot of work to get where you are. We congratulate people on their anniversary. Hey, congratulations on 10 years of marriage. Like, that's a lot of work. That's impressive. Congratulations on this milestone at work. You've been with the company for 25 years. Well done. But then we also celebrate birthdays. And I always joke about this. We're like, congratulations. You had nothing to do with that. But let's celebrate it every year. and I'm going to make some real happy people right now. We should say congratulations to the moms on birthdays and be like, thank you for helping them when they were born, because you were the one that did all the work. But that's the idea here. It's like, no, we're not the ones that do it. God's the one that's doing the work. So it's not us, it's to him. And the third thing is because of love. So I want you to say those three things. And I know that sounds really sappy, and it'll make sense in a second. We're going to say not us, to him, because love. On three. One, two, three. Yes. So why? Why is it that God would even do this? Like, who are you? Do you matter? And again, if you think you matter, if you think, well, I am pretty important. I am pretty impressive. I do get my way a lot. I deserve things. Then you've got a whole other pride, arrogance issue. But we don't deserve anything from the God of the universe. And, maybe that makes you sad a little bit. But it's the reality. Like, who are we? We're so insignificant. And yet, God knows everything about us. He knows every hair on our head. He knows every breath that we take. He sustains us. He guides and leads us. And why does he do that for us that we don't deserve? It's because of love. And that's how the end of verse 1 is. Part C says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory. And then the word for, we would use the word because, for your unfailing love and faithfulness. And see, the reason God cares about us, the reason God gives anything to us, the reason we have value is because of what God has done. And, it doesn't take much. Read, especially the Old Testament, some of the stories there when God's like, what have I done? Who are these people? And he says, I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to destroy them with a flood. But then there was Noah. He's like, you know what? I'm going to show love to Noah and his family. And there's the story of Abram and Sodom and Gomorrah. And you've got that whole story of like, if there's anyone there and he couldn't find anyone, so I'm going to rescue you. Why? Because of love. And so all of these things that happened throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament, were specifically God saying, you know what? I'm not giving up on them because I love them. Because they're my creation. And so he says, for your unfailing love and faithfulness. And the word unfailing love is a word we've talked about before. It's the word chesed. Chesed, that's the Hebrew word there. And the word translated in English means loving kindness. It's kind of one long, super compound word. Loving kindness that also hits the spell check every time you write it. But it actually is a word. I didn't make that one up. But it means this undeserved love. In the New Testament, they translate that word charis, which is grace. And so the fact that we have everything that we do is not because we deserved it. It's not because we earn it. It's because of His grace. It's because of His love. He says, I love you so much. And it's an unfailing love. It doesn't end. It doesn't stop. And it's nothing that we did to deserve it. And we actually, during our, and all of these series I've been talking about are on the opening slide here, during the announcement loops. But in our Anywhere But There series we did a couple years ago about the life of Jonah, we spent a couple weeks talking about that word hesed. So if you want to learn more about that, you can find that on our website. But this word, like this unfailing love, and the word faithfulness is another Hebrew word, and it means something you hold tight to. It means something that you will not let go, something that is firm, something that is strong, something that is stable. We had the privilege of going to Hershey Park on Friday. Jack works for Giant food stores, and Giant gets crazy discounts to Hershey Park. And so we were able to go, and which is kind of cool, the four of us. Now that the girls are off at college. So anyway, that was a sad thing. But they built a couple of new roller coasters and rides and stuff. And one of the things that stood out to us, there was this one ride that they built that wasn't there the last time. And there was this massive foundation. It's one of these twisty, spinny around rides. And the massive foundation, the amount of concrete that they had to pour to put this ride in, and it was kind of weird because it was right next to another roller coaster, and the roller coaster had like one of those emergency stairs you never hope you have to use. You know what I'm talking about? That are like from the top and come down. And of course, it had been there for a while, for years, and the stairs came down, but it was right next to this other ride, and this other ride had to have such a big foundation that you came down to the bottom of the stairs, and then there was a set of stairs to climb back up to get to the level of where, like, the normal level of everything, because there was this, like, I don't know, 12-foot foundation of just solid concrete that was probably close to the size of this room as a foundation for this ride. And that's good. We want that. You know, we don't want the ride to, like, fall over. You don't want to be bouncing across the ground and rolling through Hershey Park on the ride. You want to be, you know, secure. And that's what this word is. That's what this word is. This is a solid, stable foundation. And so God's chesed and His faithfulness. That's why we don't deserve it. You didn't do anything to earn it. And yet He showed His love for us. And of course, as you transition between the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and God working with Israel into the New Testament, that sin nature, that issue is still there. And God says, okay, I'm done messing around. And He sent His Son Jesus to die for us because of His chesed, because of His grace. And it wasn't anything that we did to deserve it. And we've said this so many times. There is nothing that you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do. You can keep coming and be like, oh, I went to church 3 times this month. That doesn't matter. God's love for you, His chesed, is unchangeable. It's as loving, as full as it can be. So there's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. You can't mess up. You can't get to a spot where God's like, nah, I'm done. And that is why we are to pass this on. That is why we are receiving this. That is why we have what we have. God says, I love you so much that I'm going to do this for you. That ultimately I offered my Son for you. And so, our job is to pass it on. It's not to hold on to the potato, because that's how you lose the game. And it's more than a game. Our job is to pass it on. And so these are the three things we said when it comes to passing it on. I'm going to say them on three again. 1, 2, 3. No. One more time. Not us to Him because of love. And now the rest of the psalm, the rest of Psalm 115, explaining some reasons why and some of the things that God has done for us. But as we said already, this is a psalm of deflection. It's all about Him. It's to Him. So it's not us to Him because love. Not us to Him because love. And so the psalm writer then goes on with the rest of the psalm here and talks about why not us? Like, why isn't it about us? Why is it not us and to Him? Why is it not because of me? Because of me. And so then the psalm writer shares in the next 18 verses some reasons why it's not us. And the first thing he shares is because we didn't do it. Because we didn't do it. And again, this is written to the Jewish people in the Old Testament time, the Old Covenant era. Most of them were written up until the temple time. It was before like Habakkuk and before Nehemiah and some of those things we talked about before where they left the land. This is before that time. And so he shares here in verses 2 to 8. Now we're moving on. In verses 2 to 8, he says, "Why let the nations say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in the heavens, and he does as he wishes." So understand that God does whatever he wants. Why? Because he's God. And you would say, "Well, that's not fair. Why can't I have my way?" Because if you had your way, you would be in hell. Because when we choose our own way, that's kind of where it went with Adam and Eve. They started this whole pattern of sin. And it's more than just that, so we're not just going to blame them. But we sin ourselves. We make decisions that are not what God wants. And so getting our own way leads us away from God. And so God does as he wishes. And then the writer here breaks into something that's probably not as relevant to you and me today. And we'll come back to why. But he says their idols are merely things of silver and gold. And he talks about these idols, and the root word, of course, an idol is something that they make out of gold or silver. In this case, they could be wood. There were different things. And what an idol was, the word also means an image or a representative. And so they would make an idol and they would bow down to it as their God. And that's why, and we've talked about this before, that's why in Exodus, when they finally get through the plagues, they cross the Red Sea, all these amazing things happen. Moses goes to the top of Mount Sinai and the people make a golden calf with Aaron. And everybody's like, "What in the world? How could they not? What? Why this sudden change in direction?" But if you read carefully, it says Aaron makes this golden calf and says, "This is the God that brought you out of Egypt." And they needed something physical to worship. And so it wasn't that they were getting rid of God completely. Not that this was good. But they were saying, "No, see this golden calf that we just made? That's who brought us out of Egypt. Let's worship this golden calf." And so that's the kind of thing here. He says their idols are merely things of silver and gold, shaped by human hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. And they have eyes, but cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear. And noses, but cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel. And feet, and cannot walk. And throats, and cannot make a sound. Like, hello? This is your God? You just made it. And he says, and those who make idols are just like them. There's like a subliminal message here. Dull and useless. Because that's what this thing is. He says, those who make idols are just like them, as are all who trust in them. And so they're saying, like, these people, the Israelites, would be making an idol and be like, "Let's bow down to worship this thing." And the writer of Psalms here, and this happens all throughout the prophets too, they're like, "So wait, are you serious? You just made that. How can that be your God? You made it. That makes no sense." And so, you know, we can sit there and be like, "Well, that's good. I haven't made any idols out of gold lately." Not for the rate it's going. I trade that in. But we don't make them. But my question for us today, a principle that we can walk away with, is what are the accomplishments that we're taking credit for that we think we made? But God was the one that did it. And the answer, in a general sense, is all of them. But is there something where you're like, "Oh, I've made it this far. I've achieved this. Oh, look how good I am at this." But the reality is, no. No, you didn't. You're just referring to this thing that you think you created. But God was the one. God was the one that did it. Do you live your life like your success depends on you? Like, if it's up to you, I've got to work these extra hours, because if I don't, it's just not going to work. I'm not going to be able to feed my family. I have to put in this extra overtime, because if I don't, then I'm not going to have enough. And statements like that, and say, by the way, I'm going to ignore my family. Statements like that say things that say, okay, God, even though you tell me my family should be my priority over my job, even though you tell me that you're the one that provides for my needs and not myself, we kind of carry this around going, but it's up to me. And you just made an idol of yourself. saying, it's up to me, I'm doing this thing, and we worship ourselves and we bow down to ourselves, and maybe not physically, but in our mentality we do. And we need to understand, this is what the psalm writer is saying here, it's like, we didn't do it. We can say it's up to you, God, because we're not the ones that accomplished this. God has done that. God has worked through you, God has worked in you, God has worked in those around you, and you are not the one that can take the credit for it. Because it's not us, it's to Him, because love. So the second thing, why not us? The second reason, first, we didn't do it. The second is, we can't protect it. We can't protect it. We kind of have this idea of like, I'm going to hold on to this thing, and I'm going to protect it. And the reason why we can say, God, it's to you, is because we're not even the ones that can protect it. He goes on in Psalm 115, verses 9 to 11, and repeats some phrases here. O Israel, trust the Lord, because He is your helper and shield. He is your helper and shield. O priests, descendants of Aaron, because that's who they were the descendants of Aaron. Trust the Lord. He is your helper and your shield. All who fear the Lord, and this is where the psalm kind of applies to us. It's kind of because you're probably not a descendant of Aaron. You're probably not an Israelite. You could be by blood, I suppose. But then he goes on and says, all who fear the Lord, trust the Lord. Why? Because He is your helper and your shield. And the psalm writer is kind of, you know, and we don't know the context. We don't know when this was written. But it seems to imply that there was something going on. And the people were like, oh, I need to figure out how I can solve this problem. I need to figure out how we can protect ourselves. And the writer of the psalms here is saying, no, just step back and trust God. Why? Because He is your helper and shield. He is the one that protects you. He is the one who cares for you. He's basically reminding us, no matter how much we want to think that we're in control, we're not. God is. And He's the one that protects us. You know, wear your seatbelt. Drive wisely, please. But ultimately, we need to trust that God has, you need to trust that God has you in His hands. And it gets more real when you have to sign that paper that they get the driver's license. And, you know, that's your, I don't know how many different sitcoms and TV shows have covered that theme. Okay, you're 16, you've got your license, here's your helmet, here's your riot gear, here's all the stuff you have to wear, your bubble wrap, now you can get into the car, and by the way, I've spray foamed the entire outside of it, so you should be safe. You know, kind of that idea, but we're not the ones that keep them safe. And we have to say, God, you know, you've got my kid in your hands. You've got my family in your hands. You've got my job in your hands. And if God chooses to take some of those away, there's a reason, something He's doing. And I'm not saying it's easy, but we need to say it's not our job to protect ourselves. It's not our job to make this work and fix it and solve it. Because no matter how hard, I mean, we know this. Like, let's be honest, right? If we could protect ourselves, nobody would ever die in war. I mean, that's the cutting edge technology. And ultimately, it's up to God. And so we can say, God, not to us, not us, to Him, because You're the one that's our helper. And the writer of Psalms says, Israel, people who trust God, descendants of Aaron, just step back. Just trust God, because He loves you, because He has chesed for you, because He cares about you. And you don't need to deserve it, because He loves you anyway. So we can't protect it. That's why not us. The third reason we didn't do it, we can't protect it, we won't achieve it. It's not how do we define achievement? We define achievement about what we've accomplished. But God defines achievement very differently. And in verses 12 to 15, the writer says, the Lord remembers us and will bless us. Listen to how many times he says this. A lot of repetition. He will bless the people of Israel and bless the priests, the descendants of Aaron. Same people he was just talking about. He will bless those who fear the Lord, which would be us, people that are fearing, if you in fact are fearing and trusting and following God. Both those who fear the Lord, both great and lowly, may the Lord, then he goes on and kind of shares a blessing, may the Lord richly bless both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so there's this idea of blessing. You see that word how many times? One, two, three, four, five times right there. Six. Six times right there. And this idea of blessing, and we kind of have this all messed up. Like, hashtag blessed, which means that I had a really good selfie today, and I'm sitting in a really nice place, I guess. When we think blessing, we often equate blessing with happiness. And that if I'm happy, then I'm blessed. Or blessing with stuff. If I have stuff, then I'm blessed. And of course, the opposite is true. If I'm not happy, then I'm not blessed. And if I don't have stuff, then I'm not blessed. And that is not what blessing means. Blessing isn't about riches. It isn't about a happy emotion. It's about what God is doing. And there's a word here that is the Hebrew word is barach. And it means to be blessed. And throughout the Bible, when you see this word blessed, it doesn't mean having stuff. It doesn't mean happy. It means that God is doing something in your life. And so the writer of Psalms here says, look, God is not going to forget you. He is going to be active in your life. He's going to bless the people. He will be active in the people of Israel. He will bless those. He will be active in the lives of those who fear the Lord. And then he says, may the Lord bless you, may be richly bless you, may be active in your life and you and your children. May God be active in your life, the God who made heaven and earth. And the whole blessing here and tied to the last part is that let's just step back and say, God, you've got this. And I'm going to trust you for what my achievements are. I'm going to trust you for how much I have, for what I get, for what I deserve. And that's what blessing is. Blessing means that God is active in your life. And we did a series, I can't see it because of the lights, but we did a series called Blessed on the Beatitudes. And again, you can find that in that opening slide. And we spent 8 weeks looking at these different passages, these different verses from Matthew that talked about those that are blessed and what that looks like. And so here we need to reevaluate, what does it look like to be blessed? What does it look like to understand? And so blessing, if God is active in your life, might actually not mean that you have more money now. Maybe you have less money because God is active in your life because you're giving it away. Maybe God is active in your life and you're going through a hard time because God is using that time to draw you closer to Him. Because if blessing equals happiness, then, you know, we would have some questions to answer. Almost all of the disciples, except for Judas, almost all of the disciples were martyred, were killed for believing in Jesus. Many of them were punished. Many of them were whipped, were beaten. Paul, I mean, you read his story in the book of Acts, like, it was awful. He was imprisoned. He was beaten up to the full extent of the law. Would you say, oh, well, he wasn't blessed. God wasn't active in his life. Oh, really? He wrote half of the New Testament. So we just need to determine, how do we define achievement? How do we define success? How do we define blessing? Because it's not about what we've achieved. It's not us. It's to Him because of love. And again, and that changes things. We can go, God, you know what? This situation is hard. But I trust you. And I want you to be active in my life. Because it's not about me. It's about you. And I know that you love me. And I know that you chesed me. And I know that you have, that your grace is active in my life. So I'm going to trust you. So why not us? Because we didn't do it. We can't protect it. We won't achieve it. And finally, we don't deserve it. Kind of a summary statement here at the end of Psalm 115 in verses, that is not verses 61 to 18. That is verse 16 to 18. I got a little mixed up there. But he ends this psalm by saying, the heavens belong to the Lord. So God owns everything that we see. And the heavens and earth motif, this is a theme that you see throughout the Old Testament, specifically in the Psalms. And basically meant heavens meant everything up there. The earth meant everything down here. Like, it covered everything. When you talk heavens and earth, that's everything. There isn't anything left out. And he says, the heavens belong to the Lord, And then he says, but he has given the earth to all humanity. So if something is given to someone, they have to possess it. So God owns the earth as well. He's given it to us. He's loaned it to us to be here. And that's kind of it's a metaphor. It's not like it's ours and we own this chunk of dirt or something like that. But it's saying that God has given this planet for us because he cares about us because of his chesed. But the heavens, all of this belongs to him. It's all his stuff. And then it has a side note here, just in case you weren't aware. The dead cannot sing praises to the Lord, for they have gone into the silence of the grave. And the psalm writer is saying, you know what? While you're alive, do what you can to say it's not us, it's to him. Because once you're dead, it's too late. So give God the glory now. Give him the honor. Deflect to him. Hand the potato off to him and say, God, this isn't about me. It's not what I've earned. I don't deserve it. It's not about how I can keep it. It's not how I can protect it. It's about giving it away. He says, do it now, because when you're dead, you can't. It's too late. And I guess maybe even build into that as this, well, I'll get to that later. You don't know what later looks like. You don't know if there will be a later. He says, but we can praise the Lord both now and forever. Praise the Lord. And of course, we talked a couple of weeks ago, that phrase, halal, which is the praise, and Lord is Yahweh. Halal, Yahweh, hallelujah. And he's saying that we don't deserve this. It's on loan from God. Everything we have is on loan from him. Why did he loan it to us? Because he loves us. Why did he loan this to you? Because he loves you. And so the things that you have, they aren't because you've earned them or you deserve them. It's because God says, I love you so much. I'm giving this to you. It's grace. It's undeserved. And so because of that, we want to say, okay, God, thank you. Not us, to him, because love. God, it's yours. You deserve the glory. So why not us? Because we didn't do it. We can't protect it. We won't achieve it. We don't deserve it. And so the point for this psalm is that this is a psalm of deflection to him. This is about what he has done in our lives. It's not about anything that you have achieved or accomplished. It's because he has chosen to give it to us. And so when we come to any situation in our lives, we need to say, God, you know what? I need to get out of the way. I need to stop trying to take the credit and say, God, this belongs to you. And that's what Psalm 115 is all about. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your unfailing love and faithfulness. And so, as I said, we're going to wrap up our time this morning by singing in worship. And these songs are to reflect our hearts to him, to deflect our hearts to God and say, God, this isn't about us, but it's to you. That you're the one that deserves all of it.